As we begin, I'm going to go back a little bit and make some introductions for those of you who may not know us. I'm Janet Wilson. I'm the associate pastor here. My bookend is Chad Parmalee. He's the lead pastor, and we're joined by Shona Teruza, who is the artist behind the Stations of the Cross exhibit, Jesus in Contemporary America. And we're delighted to have her with us this evening. For all of us, Good Friday is a waypoint on the journey of Lent that began on Ash Wednesday. And that journey every year for us as followers of Jesus begins with an invitation to slow down, to consider again the journey to the cross that Jesus and his disciples are making. It includes an invitation to reflect personally, to take something up, to put something down, to refresh and renew ourselves on the way to Easter Sunday and the renewal of spring, as Shona and I were reflecting. For this congregation this year, it also began with an invitation to consider some what ifs. What if you had been born in another place, in another time, in another circumstance? What if you had not begun life at the starting point that you began? What would your life have looked like? And on our journey, Shona's art has accompanied us. We hung that right before our Ash Wednesday service. And if you haven't had a chance to see it yet, we invite you to do so after the service. And it's Shona's reflections as a biracial, bicultural woman on racism in America. Is the mother of American children as well. And it's been challenging. It's beautiful work. It's challenging to consider, and we've been doing that. And along with that, Chad and I have been preaching through a social justice series. And so we've been looking at issues from kind of the perspective of global neighbors. What are the issues that are challenging to humans and human rights throughout the world? What does it mean for us? What does it mean for us as followers? And so we've been walking this journey together as a congregation. And so tonight we kind of stop and consider, how has that journey gone for us and for you? For Chad and I know that's been in the worship team, it's been a challenging series. It's been difficult material to research, to write, to preach. It's been difficult. I know in the weeks I'm not preaching, it's difficult to hear. We know that it's been challenging for our congregation, and we thank you for hanging with us as we walked through kind of a challenging season. But in that, I wonder, how have your what-ifs gone? Have you been able to put yourself in the shoes of another, to consider global migration if you had been born a Syrian, to consider economic injustice if you had been born very poor in rural South? What does that look like? So we invite you to keep considering that. And where does that leave you as we consider today the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross? That's not just for our redemption, although it is certainly also for that, but for the redemption of all persons and for the redemption of the world. And so those are some of the questions I think that we come to on this day. And at this point, what we'd like to do is to invite you to offer any reflections that you have from the series, from encountering Shona's art, from this Lenten journey in your life. And Shona is very willing to speak to that and answer any questions from her perspective. And then Chad will close in reflection. So Roshan has a microphone if anyone has an offering.
I know I have a plant. Crystal, Pastor Crystal from Christ United Methodist Church and from Washington Heights has offered.
Good evening. I would like to first say thank you, Shona, for sharing your work. I was not aware of all of the history. I was kind of hearing the buzz when I came here for Ash Wednesday service. Immediately looking at your work, it spoke to me. I am not necessarily, I never could walk in your shoes as reading your story from the shopper, but when I accepted my call to ministry, I did not know that it meant integrating churches. I am an African-American pastor that has been in cross-cultural appointments since I came into ministry in 2014. And to think, even when I just got to my church here last year in 2018, that I still have to be the one that's in the cross-cultural appointment integrating churches. And so when I saw that work and I saw what it meant, the Jesus now, that's the Jesus I know every day. And so I thank you for sharing that work. And for, I think, Pastor Chad and his work here, as you do take the time to look at the social injustice, because I think a lot of times we don't think about things still being integrated and things still being taken, even when I come into a room and I realize I may be not only the only African American, but maybe the only minority. And that often happens when I go to work, when I go to meetings for work, and when I'm going about the things that I, you know, have to do. So it, your work really spoke to me and just really made me feel at home.
Wow. Thank you very much for sharing that. And congratulations on your appointment. It sounds like you're going to be doing a lot of work of racial healing just by your presence in your congregation. And that's very important stuff. I say racial healing because people talk about racial reconciliation, but I don't think there's ever been a time where the races have been living in harmony anywhere. And so the work is actually healing work, and it requires bold people to go out of their comfort zones and to go to places where they can do that important work just by their presence, by their calling, by the love that they have for God and for their fellow human. And so I applaud you for doing that. And also for all of you, especially my two pastor friends here, for being bold enough to allow me to come in and show that kind of work, which can very often easily offend people. But it sounds like you've all been pretty open, and for me it's been incredibly healing to be welcomed into this place, to hear your feedback, and just to feel like a part of all of you all, especially today. So thank you for that.
Wait a minute, I'll answer.
Having taught for 30 years in the Battle Creek system, having worked at the Salvation Army soup kitchen, having volunteered in nursing homes, you think you can't do anything, but there's so much you can do. If it's only going to a nursing home once a month and talking to somebody that's never had a visitor for the last how many years when their family's all gone and they think nobody cares about them anymore, or go to a school and just give a kid a hug. I know we're not supposed to do that anymore, but that's when I retired from teaching, when they said I couldn't hug the kids anymore. But there's so many little things that you can do and you get love back.
Amen.
And it's a nice way to get to know your community.
I'm Roger Ballard from Chapel Hill United. Christ United Methodist.
We'll take you.
We'll take you. Come on.
I used to go to Chapel Hill in Eau Claire, which was United Methodist. But I think our church shows it every day in spreading the word and having our clothes closet that's a little over a year old now and having to expand it from Wednesdays from noonish to four to opening once a month on Saturdays because of the great need for the people that are in need of clothing. We share it with our food pantry, which is just a small little 2-foot by 3-foot pantry in the driveway. And people fill it and people take it. And it's empty every day. And it seems like, isn't there never any food there? But it gets food put in every day and food taken out every day. And the little library that we have with it. We also enjoy working with the NA and AA programs at First Congregational Church and our spiritual support group at First Congregational Church. Not necessarily related to the church, they just provide the space. And so it's just a real blessing to be able to reach many different people and to share what we can with them. Thank you.
Shona, I just want to offer every day, essentially, that I've been here since Ash Wednesday, I've walked by your art. And sometimes different pieces will catch my eyes on different days. And Shona's statements really just got added this week. And before that, they were just the Stations of the Cross scriptures and just having that pull of what was that journey like for Jesus, and what is that journey like for a young African American male in our society? What do I think and I feel when I see a young black man in a red hoodie?
Yeah.
And it's challenged me. Mm-hmm. And knowing that young man is your son has made me remember that every young man is someone's son. Mm-hmm. And it opened my heart in a different way. It just challenged my thinking, it challenged my set point, and I thank you for that. I'm gonna miss your pieces.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Yeah. Something I've been following along with you all, the catching up on the sermons, the whole series. And something that Pastor Chad said last Sunday, the Palm Sunday, about immigration also struck me that it could apply to racial justice as well. He said it's not about the policies and, you know, the whole politics behind it, because very often we get into this us versus them kind of thing. It's about the individuals. It's about going and being in relationship with people, seeing beyond all of the stuff, just seeing each person as a child of God, seeing them as a human being. I think if we can stop and see a young black man in a hoodie or anyone else as a child of God and as created in God's image and likeness, starting from that point, I think we can break down all the other systems that seem right too big to challenge right now. Just seeing each other as human, as children of God. So thank you for sharing that.
As I've thought about this series and heard it and been participated in it and watched it roll out, I'm we called it a social justice series the whole way. We named it "The Kingdom, Thy Kingdom Come," right? But the more that we invested in it, and the more that I saw the places of discomfort in it for us, the more I understood it as a human rights series, a recognition that all people are children of God. If we understand creation and ourselves in creation and our place in God's family, we must also understand every other person in God's creation the same way. We don't get to own it for ourselves and disallow anyone else's inclusion in that kingdom. When we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," we're not only praying for some ethereal paradise kind of thing that we think about, we're praying ourselves into action to make things happen that would usher in the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We're trading our will for God's will each time we pray that prayer. When I pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," I have to set myself aside and see the world through the eyes of God and do what God calls me to do in that scenario rather than in what's comfortable for me. That's what the call, "Thy kingdom come," means. And I think that's what we've said each week. We've tried to raise the value of every human being in God's creation to the same level, to understand that God doesn't see difference. God sees similarity. He sees the beauty that God has created, built into each human being, and breathes life into each human being, the same life, the same source. That's what God sees. And I don't want to take too much credit for pushing into this series as if I've done it so many times in my career. This is the first time in my ministerial career that I've preached these difficult things. And when we started this series, I heard people say to me, "I've been coming to this church for 30 years, and we've never talked about these things." Right? And now I want to link this to Good Friday. I want to thank you too, Shona. I think God had something in mind when he put us in the same room back in February of last year. And I think your art inspired the ideas that birthed this series. And I just want to thank you for your contribution and for the way you inspired me to be brave, right? I could have not done this. I could have not spent 6 weeks struggling through this stuff. But Shona's work inspired me to be brave, to go ahead and listen to the places where you all disagreed with me and go ahead and receive that. And that was all right, because at least we're having the conversation. So I appreciate your encouragement along the way. And I think all of this does link back to this day we're recognizing on Good Friday. This particular scripture passage that we're taking up today, it says that Jesus knew that his mission was now finished. His mission was now finished, it says. But where Jesus' mission is finished, ours is just beginning. At the end of Jesus' earthly mission, we, God's people, put him to death on the cross. But before he left this earth in a physical way, he did some things. He handed his authority to the disciples and then called us to be his disciples, called us into that authority. And he promised to send the Holy Spirit to be with us all the way, to provide us the courage and the inspiration and the motivation to do the things that Jesus was doing while he was here. There's one comment I heard a number of times during the series was, can't we just talk about Jesus? Like, this is hard. Can't we just talk about Jesus? Well, I'm here to tell you, for 6 weeks, we've been talking about Jesus. Right? We've not been talking about the Jesus, perhaps, that went to the cross for you individually. Right? We haven't been talking about the Jesus that makes us feel better about ourselves because we know that we're redeemed. And that's a very important thing for us to talk about on Good Friday. Jesus did die that we would be redeemed, but we were redeemed for a purpose, and that purpose is to carry on the mission that Jesus started and said was finished before he gave up his spirit. And that mission includes picking up the things that God is inspiring you with passion about. Right? That mission is to read the Gospels and see where Jesus was pushing against the status quo and finding the places where you are inspired to do the same and to do that. Jesus didn't relinquish his mission to the universe. He gave it to us. I don't know what that means for you individually. I've said that over and over again for these 6 weeks. I don't know what that means for you individually. I don't know which one of these things or which things in the Gospels that Jesus was concerned about that also concerns you, but they're there. Our challenge all the way has been to find the things that we're uncomfortable enough with that we're motivated to do something about them. I think the boldest thing I said in this series, and I was reminded of it earlier, was that if you don't see Jesus in social justice, if you can't find the ways that Jesus was interested in social justice, or you don't want to follow to work in social justice or be concerned about it, I don't know if Jesus' cross is the one for you to pick up. Because Jesus is a social activist over and over and over and over again in the Gospels. He stands up for those who can't stand for themselves. He implores people to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to give water to the thirsty, to care for the widows and the orphans, to take care of the people on the margins of our culture. And we cannot sit in churches in the suburbs or in insulated by our comfort and ignore those things and still profess to pick up our cross and follow Jesus. I think we'd like to. But I don't think it's what we're called to do. Christ's disciples didn't know then what we know now. When Jesus stood with them and said, all authority in heaven is given to me. This is after the resurrection. All authority in heaven is given to me. I now give it to you, and I'm going to pass from this place. I'm going to leave you my Holy Spirit, and my Holy Spirit is going to teach you, remind you of everything that I've taught you, and keep you in step with me, thy will. May you relinquish your will, that you would pick up my will, and the Holy Spirit will guide us to do those very things. And in doing so, he was equipping us to continue the mission that he had started. On this Good Friday, we come together, of course, to acknowledge the fact that the Son of God, the Lamb of God, was slain on our behalf. It's the only thing that makes us worthy to do God's work. Like, we're redeemed for today so that we can be freed from our own sin and guilt to do that which God is calling us to do. That's for sure. We come also to hear that Jesus' mission was finished. And I think it could only be finished because he knew he had given it, he had placed it in capable hands. we are the hands and feet of Christ. On our worst day, we are still the purveyors of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're it. The way we respond to people around us, the way we react to the injustice that we see in every corner, in every way, we react on behalf of Jesus Christ. It is finished. Jesus drew his last breath, died on the cross, that we could be forgiven, redeemed, made whole. All of those things, so that we were fit to carry Jesus' cross in the world before us. Made whole for a reason. Made whole for a purpose. Redeemed by the blood that we might join the cause of Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.